I really enjoy that reading, purely and simply because it reveals the difference between following Yah and following the adversary. Today, I'm going to speak on the miracles of Yah. And I've taken this from our readings of the Torah, and I've titled it Almonds Overnight. And it comes from Bamidbar 17:1-8. And it says, Yehovah said to Moshe, speak to the people of Israel and take from them staffs, one for each ancestral tribe, from each leader of a tribe, 12 staffs. Write each man's name on his staff and write Aharon's name on the staff of Levi, for each tribe's leader is to have one staff. Put them in the tent of meeting in front of the testimony where I meet with you. The staff of the man I am going to choose will sprout buds. In this way I'll put a stop to the complaints of people of Israel keep making against you. So Moshe spoke to the people of Israel and put all their leaders, gave him staffs, one for each leader, according to their ancestral tribes, 12 staffs. Aharon's staff was among their staffs. Moshe put the staffs before Yehovah in the tent of testimony. The next day, so it was virtually overnight, Moshe went to the tent of the testimony, and there he saw Aharon's staff for the house of Levi had budded. It had not only budded, but it had sprouted, not only buds, but flowers and ripe almonds as well. Now, that is miraculous. We are living today in a time where our faith is being tested on every level. Our freedom of speech is being eroded. And people we love, who once knew Yah, are heading for a lost eternity. We can only see what's in the natural. But I believe that Yah is doing something right now in the spiritual that he's never done before. But we have to believe him. We have to believe his word right now for the things that we've never believed him for before. Last time I spoke, I encouraged you to listen to his voice and to pay attention to it. We now need to realize that Yah is waiting on us. He's waiting, not the other way around. We're not waiting on him. He is waiting on us. He's waiting on us to hear him. He's waiting on us to activate his word. He's waiting on us to walk in faith and obedience to his word. When Moshe first started out in his leadership role, the scriptures said that it was Yehovah that did most of the talking. In fact, 5 times in scripture we find the phrase, and Moshe did according to the word of Yehovah. But somewhere along the line, Moshe had a realization. And he realized, I've been waiting for Yah to speak. I need to do some talking. So when we go to the next slide, please. In Shemot Exodus chapter 8, verse 13a, it says, Yehovah did, as Moshe had asked, and I believe that he needs to happen in our generation today, that the Messianic community finally comes to the realization that we can speak things into existence and Yah can fulfill them, as Moshe did. And said in Matityahu 9:29, then he touched their eyes and said, let it happen to you according to your trust. So as Yehovah did as Moshe asked, when we ask, we then have to do it according to our trust, according to our faith. But there's only one way that can happen. And that is we've got to activate our faith. In Ephesians 3 and verse 20 it says, "Now to him who by his power working in us is able to do far beyond anything we can imagine." Amen. There's nothing that we can't do. As long as we have the faith to believe that what we ask for will be answered. It is Yah's power working in us that's able to do it. It is not us that's able to do it. We can't do it in our own strength. Are we, each and every one of us, daring to believe Yah for the things in this hour that we've never believed for before? Because if we are, then Yah will, by his word, do it. He'll do according to the word of his people. He will work according to our faith that is operative to the word. And he will operate through the power that is in us. There is enough power working in each and every one of us to do exceeding abundantly above all things that we can not only ask for, but even think. He knows our thoughts before we've thought them. It is exceeding abundant above all things that we could verbalize or comprehend, and that is what is in us. We just need to activate it into our lives, and we have to step out in faith. We don't have to beg, we don't have to buy it. We don't have to complete a college course or go to university. All we have to do is learn how to use it. Last time I spoke, we had to learn how to hear his voice. This week now, we've got to learn how to not only hear, but activate what we hear and activate our faith to do more than what we're already doing. Excuse me. So I'm not talking about the name it and claim it, grab it and blab it philosophy of material wealth and possessions. It's got nothing to do with that. I'm talking about speaking into existence. Maybe it might be the salvation of our lost loved ones, healing of our bodies, the restoration of backsliders within our family or community, the unity of our families, the protection of our children in their everyday lives. We need to take hold of these things that the Word has promised us. Yehovah's Messianic community, I believe, in these days, when the freedom of speech and the freedom of religion or the ability to raise our own children to our own standards and not the world's is becoming less acceptable every day within this world. Yah is going to do something in our midst in the very near future that will literally blow our minds. I'm believing it's going to happen because we are in a stage now where there's nothing that we can say or do in our own strength that is going to stop this world going down the path that it's going at the moment. And I'm talking about things that we couldn't even believe. But Yehovah is in control. It is he that will say, have the last word. Can we go to the next slide, please? In Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 5. It says, "Look around among the nations. What you will see will completely astound you. For what is going to be done in your days, you will not believe, even when you are old." Well, at 75, I'm old. But the point is, but I'm going to get older. And things are happening. If you look at the nations at the moment of this world, the push for the LGBTQI movement, the teaching of children and stopping parents from having any control over their children, and if they want to go down the transgender track, it's getting worse daily, and it's getting pushed into their faces. It makes me angry. It really does. I was a teacher in the education department for 38 years. We didn't have that problem then. We've got it now. I just praise Yah, he took me out. It doesn't matter what's happened in the past. It doesn't matter how long things answered, prayers taken in the past. But prayers will be answered. It doesn't matter what we have seen or not seen. But I do believe that there is absolutely nothing impossible with Yah. Amen. And that he's getting ready to do a new thing in our midst, the likes which we've never seen before. We are going to see a stop to it. Something is going to happen that's going to happen very soon that's going to put a stop to all of this nonsense that's going on. Yeshayahu 43 verse 18 and 19 says, "Stop dwelling on past events and brooding over times gone by. I am doing something new. It's springing up. Can't you see it? I am making a road in the desert, rivers in the wasteland." We are going to see something new. We have to forget the limitations of yesterday. If we're going to see this new thing, then we have to forget all preconceived ideas of how things ought to happen. Because Yah's ways are not our ways. If we're going to see this new thing happen, we have to remove anything in our mind that can limit Yah from working. And that includes our faith. We have to strengthen our faith and realize that Yehovah wants to do something we cannot even ask or think to ask for. Because Yehovah is getting ready to blow our minds. In our scripture from today's Torah reading, Yehovah was trying to establish the authority of the priesthood. He does it in what seems to be a very strange way. It seems that it was obvious that the tribes had been fighting over who was to perform the services of the priesthood. And they all wanted to have the power and the authority that came only to the chosen servants of Aharon, who ministered in the tent of meeting. They all claimed that they were the chosen tribe. And they'd been anointed of Yehovah with power and divine authority. And so Yah said, "Well, I'm tired of all this fighting. Have every tribe send a representative to the tabernacle with their staff." Now, the strange thing here is that the tribe of Levi, and especially the house of Aharon, had already been appointed as priests, as Kohanim. So it had actually already been settled, but the people weren't happy with this. But once again, Levi and Aharon, they had the label, but they didn't have the power. They had separated themselves from the rest of the nation by their outward holiness, their physical restrictions, and their refusal to touch the unclean thing. Yet there was no visible show of power and authority in their demeanor. They were Yehovah's chosen, and they had the standards down, yet there was no power. And so Yah calls the tribes to come to the tabernacle or the tent of testimony, and it's like he's saying, "I will show you whom I have anointed to minister to the nation of Israel." Stop fighting amongst yourselves and just get into my presence. And I will manifest the anointing and the power of my Ruach or spirit on the person that I choose. The second thing that is different about this story is this. Yehovah said, bring your staff or your walking stick into the tent of testimony. Now these staves or walking sticks were family heirlooms. They could have been 100 years old. They could have had them for hundreds of years in Egypt. Whatever their age, we do know that they were dead, dry walking sticks and hadn't borne fruit in many years. They were sticks that had once been attached to a living tree, but for years had not been productive. There was no sap left in them, no retained moisture. They were dead and dry. Sometimes we can feel that way, can't we? And Yah said, bring those dead, dry walking sticks into my house and I will show you who has my anointing and authority. He was going to do something that they had never seen before. And he was going to do it through a dead, dry stick that had no ability to bear fruit. The staffs, the sticks, the rods, whatever you want to call them, were going to remain in the tent overnight. So Yah's going to show his power and authority overnight. Now this is what was really had them stumped, because they knew that an almond tree, in order to produce fruit, had to have one, just the right kind of soil, two, the right amount of sunlight, three, just the right amount of rain, and then, even when all these conditions were met, it took 5 years to bear fruit. You with me? But it's like Yah is saying, I'm going to take what you thought was dead, without any soil, sunlight or rain, and I'm going to produce almonds overnight. I'm going to take that stick that was designed to bring forth fruit, but now has just become a showpiece of someone's craftsmanship, and it's going to bear fruit again. I'm going to establish apostolic authority before the apostles had even come along. And I'm going to do it by taking your ideas, your timetables, your expectations, and blow them out of the water. You say it takes 5 years under perfect conditions to bring forth almonds. I'm going to bring forth almonds overnight. So Yah's getting ready to do something in this hour to establish his authority in his messianic community that is unlike anything that's ever been seen before. We have separated ourselves from the world and we don't touch unclean things. But we have not been working and activating in the power and authority that we need. But right now, Yah is establishing his authority and it's being conferred upon those who keep his mitzvot. That's each and every one of you. You are obeying one of the most important commandments or mitzvahs that exists, and that is to observe the Sabbath and keep it holy. That is separating yourself from the world. The way that Yah is going to prove his power is in the sanctuary. Let me share with you what I feel that Yah has shown me in this passage of scripture. The reason that Aharon was chosen to be the messenger of Yah is because in the next slide, please, in Shemot 4 and verse 30, it says, Aharon said everything Yehovah had told Moshe, who then performed the signs for the people to see. Aharon didn't tamper with the message. He didn't change it. He didn't make it suit his agenda. He didn't try and decide what Yah really meant or what was really important and leave out what he thought wasn't. He spoke all the words that Yah had given to Moshe. That's a clue in itself. I believe Yah is conferring authority upon those believers and the messianic communities in this generation that are keeping the message unchanged. Yah is going to give power to those who speak all of his words without trying to decide what we can get rid of and what is not really important anymore. Amen. Yah is going to give power to those who do not dilute his message, including all of Israel Folaos of this world. They will not dilute it for the transgender agenda that is on at the moment. This is why we will suffer in times to come, because we're not going to dilute our message and we agree with his. It may come at a cost in this world, but it will certainly bring rewards in the world to come. Can we go to the next slide, please? Oh, thank you, girls. Acts 2, 24. Oh, bless you, David. That's the first time David's been sitting there, but I'll have you know. They continued faithfully in the teaching of the emissaries, in fellowship, in breaking bread, and in prayers. And in Romans 16, 17 to 18, it says, I urge you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put snares alongside the teaching in which you have been trained. Keep away from them. Men like these are not serving our Lord the Messiah, but their own belly. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the innocent. The next slide, Ephesians 4:14. We will then no longer be infants tossed by the waves and blown along by every wind of teaching, at the mercy of people clever in devising ways to deceive. Oh, by the way, every one of these scriptures are in the newsletter. In 1 Timothy 1 verse 3, as I counseled you when I was leaving for Macedonia, stay in Ephesus, so that you may order certain people who are teaching a different doctrine to stop. Now, I know it doesn't go down well when we tell people they're not doing the right thing as far as their doctrine. I don't suggest you do that at all. You can share what you do, but don't put someone down for what they do. If they ask you questions, feel free to answer. But it's not our place to tell people they're doing it wrong. It's the Ruach HaKodesh's place. It's the Holy Spirit that will bring them to the understanding that the Sabbath is the Sabbath is the Sabbath, and the first day of the week can never be a Sabbath. In the next slide, please. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6, 13 and 16, it says, if you present all this to the brothers, you'll be serving the Messiah Yeshua well. It will show that you have digested the words of the faith and of the good teaching which you have followed. And verse 13, until I come, pay attention to the public readings of the scriptures. Hence, we read publicly every week all of the Torah, not just a third of it, plus all of the Haftarah and some Ketuvah HaShalakim. That is, to me, the most wonderful part of the day, is to listen to the scriptures being read. And verse 16, pay attention to yourself and to the teaching. Continue in it, for by doing so you will deliver both yourself and those who hear you. In the next slide, in 1 Timothy 6, 3 and 4, if anyone teaches differently and does not agree to the sound precepts of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah and to the doctrine that is in keeping with holiness, he is swollen with conceit and understands nothing. Instead, he has a morbid desire for controversies and word battles, out of which comes jealousy, dissension, insults, and evil suspicions, and constant wrangling among people whose minds no longer function properly and who have been deprived of the truth, so that they imagine that religion is a road to riches. This is a very important scripture, because it is this scripture that examples Israel Folau. He put out a meme, which is a photo of scriptures with some writing on it that he added to it. He only quoted the word of Yah, but it was taken completely out of context and said he was against all these people that did all this. That's not what he said. He spoke the truth because he spoke Yah's word. And it doesn't make sense for any of us at any time to fight and to argue the case over these people that he mentioned. Whether they be drunkards, whether they be alcoholics, whether they be fornicators, whether they be homosexuals, no matter, adulterers, whatever it was, we have no right, unless they're in this community and doing the right and wrong thing, to say to anyone. If they are in the world, then we show them love. We don't, and this is what Israel Folau said he was trying to do. Show them love, save them from a life of eternity with the adversary. And this scripture wasn't the same scripture, but it speaks the same thing. Don't have arguments about with people over it. Don't argue about the LGBTQI movement. You're not going to change them. You're not going to change those that are tying themselves to the, or sticking themselves to roads and boats and because of climate change and everything else. They've got their opinions. We've got ours. We've got to stick to ours, but don't argue with anyone over it. You just say, I'm sorry, that's, I have a differing opinion. Let's agree to disagree. They probably won't, but that doesn't matter. You've agreed to disagree, and you know that you can't do any more. The next slide, please, in 2 Timothy 3:16, which probably you all know and learnt by heart. All scripture is Yehovah-breathed and is valuable for teaching the truth, convicting of sin, correcting faults, and training in right living. And that's what we do. In 2 Timothy 4, 2-3, it says, proclaim the word. Be on hand with it, whether the times seem right or not. You've got to step out in faith. Convict, censure, and exhort with unfailing patience and with teaching. For the time is coming when people will not have the patience for sound teaching, but will cater to their passions and gather around themselves teachers who say whatever their ears itch to hear. And in the next slide, in Yochanan 2, John 1, 7-9, it says, for many deceivers have gone out into the world, people who do not acknowledge Yeshua the Messiah coming as a human being. Such a person is a deceiver and an anti-Messiah or anti-Mashiach. Watch yourselves so that you won't lose what you have worked for, but will receive your full reward. Everyone who goes ahead and does not remain true to what the Messiah has taught does not have Yehovah. Those who remain true to his teaching have both the Father and the Son. Yah is going to work through those who have remained true to the teachings of Yeshua and his Father. He will stay true to you. It doesn't matter what the label is on the front door. Yah is going to bless those who hold fast to faith towards Yehovah, repentance from dead works, immersion in Yeshua's name, infilling of his Ruach as evidence by speaking in tongues, and a holy life separated unto Yehovah. It's now time to receive the power that comes pressing into Yah's anointing. And the second thing I feel Yah is going to do is to reveal his power in a way that we've never seen before. Sometimes we think we've got Yah all figured out. We think we know how, when, why, and where Yah is going to do his miracle. But if we look into the scriptures, many ways Yeshua healed people. If you are believing for your miracle of healing, listen to what Yeshua did. One, he spoke the word. Two, he touched them. Three, they touched the hem of his garment. Yeshua even made mud pies to put on a poor man's eyes to make him see. Then after Yeshua's death and resurrection, the apostles laid hands on the sick, sent anointed handkerchiefs, and in one case even the very shadow of Cephas or Peter passing over the sick raised them back to health. We don't know what it is that Yah's going to do for us to help miracles happen in this world. But it's not one way. It can be any way. We need to realize that Yah can move any way that he wants to. He's not bound by time and space or the law of physics, nature or anything else. He can calm waves or walk right on top of them. He can make tables for a living or just pull the money out of the fish's mouth. The only thing that limits Yah is our expectations. Sometimes it's hard for us to accept a new thing, but if we're going to receive apostolic anointing or the same anointing the apostles received in the early days, we need to realize that Yah is going to bring it to us in a way that we could never experience or think of. And that is exceeding abundant above all things that we could ever want or think. The third thing is Yah is going to bring a miracle through a means that we think has long been dead. There are people in our families, in our community, that at one time were part of the body of Mashiach. Living, thriving, growing fruit, but for whatever reason have become separated from the vine. I have to admit, I'm speaking of my own twin sister and both my sons. They are dry, dead, bitter, not 1 ounce of desire left in them to serve Yah, or so we think. But we are quickly moving into end times. And I believe Yah is getting ready to do a work, a miracle in our midst that we've never seen before. He's going to do it through people we feel are dead. Not only dead in him, but twice dead and plucked up by the roots. I believe Yah has a special purpose to restore the backslider. I believe that the one reason that Yah used Cephas or Peter to preach the message at Shavuot was that when he faced the crowd of 3,000 people in Jerusalem, he was looking at people who had denied Yeshua. He was looking at people who crucified Yeshua and mocked Yeshua. But we know that even Cephas denied Yeshua 3 times and yet Yah used him mightily. And when they asked, "What must we do to be saved?" a man who did not know what it felt like to have fallen may have said, "You can't be saved, you bunch of heathens. You've gone too far. You've denied Yeshua, you can't claim him now." But a man who has denied Yeshua and been miraculously forgiven and restored said without hesitation, repent and be immersed and you shall receive the gift of the Ruach HaKodesh. Yehovah uses broken vessels to minister to broken vessels. Yehovah uses broken reeds to repair broken reeds. And Yehovah is going to use dead, dry sticks to bring forth almonds overnight. I want to say it again to all of you parents out there with backslidden children, children with backslidden parents, husbands of backslidden wives or wives of backslidden husbands, and everyone else who has backslidden loved ones today, don't believe the lie the enemy that says our children can never come back. Because I want to quote again from the prophet Jeremiah. In Yirmiyahu 31, 16 to 17, it says, this is what Yehovah says, stop your weeping and dry your eyes, for your work will be rewarded, says Yehovah. They will return from the enemy's land, so there is hope for your future, says Yehovah. Your children will return to their own territory. Yehovah is getting ready to produce some fruit through some sticks that have been dead and dry for a long time. In Yochanan 4:35, it says, don't you have a saying, 4 months and then the harvest? Well, what I say to you is, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are already ripe for harvest. We need to get the concept out of our minds that it takes 5 years to bring forth almonds. Yehovah is going to do it overnight. We must get the concept out of our minds that it takes 4 months to bring forth a harvest of wheat. Because Yah is bringing forth the harvest as soon as it is planted. When Hizkiyahu became king of Israel, he immediately began to set things in order in the temple. Things had not been done properly for quite some time, and he got the Kohanim and the Leviim into unity and got them sacrificing again. And the scriptures say in this, 2 Chronicles 29, 35 to 36. Besides the abundance of burnt offerings, there was the fat of the peace offerings and the drink offerings for each burnt offering. Thus the service of the house of Yehovah was restored. Hizkiyahu and all the people rejoiced over what Yehovah had prepared for the people, since it had all happened so suddenly. When the 120 in the upper room had been there for 7 days, had led spiritual houses in order, the scriptures say in Acts 2 verses 1 and 2, the festival of Shavuot arrived and the believers all gathered together in one place. Suddenly, there came a sound from the sky like a roar of a violent wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And you all know the story at midnight when Shaul and Selah sang praises unto heaven, when suddenly there was a violent earthquake and they shook the prison to its foundations. All the doors flew open and the chains came loose, yet not one prisoner escaped. Yah is, I believe, he is getting ready to do suddenlies in our midst. Think that things that we think should take a long time, Yah is getting ready to do overnight. Almonds that should take 5 years in perfect conditions, borne by healthy growing trees, are going to burst forth overnight. Forget what you thought you ever knew about Yah and how he works. We're getting ready to see something new that can happen overnight. So what's the miracle that you're believing for? Just keep believing and don't give up. then we can, and what I want you to do also is to start thanking Yah for your miracle now, before you've even seen it. Thank him for it every day, and it will bear fruit. So that's my message for today. I hope it's encouraged you, because we all need encouragement at this time. It's now time for the remembrance service. Just have another sip of water before we start. Yes? Do you want to come out and take the mic?
I've been believing for my 16-year-old boy who literally was taken, I believe, by the enemy. Moved in with a family who were doing drugs. The mother had promised to put him through school and promised him all the world, all these things. If she stayed there with him because of her son, they wanted to stay. Took him up to Mount Springbrook. Anyway, he got onto drugs, he got onto ice, he was in a mess. Our relationship was just basically nothing. I kept on praying that God would bring my child back from the hands of the enemy, because I saw that family in the hands of the enemy. He's been back now for 10 days, and overnight, literally overnight, he came home for one night. He's totally turned around. He's been off every substance. He has told the woman he's not coming back. He said, I want to get my life right. He prayed, he asked the Lord to come back into his life. He now is saying he believes in God. God has done so many things for him in the last week to prove that he is real and on his side. Total change. This boy has come back, he's respectful. Even the court of law, he had to go to court on Friday. The judge, with a big smile on his face, he said, you have made my day to see someone turn around. Was that a waste of time? Did you hear it? Did you hear it?
Yeah, just slide your thumb up.
Right. It's on.
Okay.
Yeah, it's on. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah,
you're right. Okay. So basically overnight, my son turned around, has come back to the Lord, total change of personality. He's dropped all his substances, and I've got a new child.
That's amazing.
Okay.
When I prepared this message, I had no idea. But that's proof that what I've said is going to happen. And it's going to happen with a lot of people and a lot of families. We just have to activate our faith. And I just pray that each and every one of you who has an unanswered prayer will see that answered very quickly. We'll now go to the remembrance service. It's on the back page of your newsletter.